What's up, guys? Welcome to the Dental Marketer Podcast, episode 254. I'm your host, Michael Arias. And in this episode, we're talking with Dr. Shawn Deering. And we get into her business. She is about, from the moment we recorded this, she was exactly 2 weeks out from opening her doors to the world. And I believe she's open now. I mean, I think it's been about maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks since we recorded this. So she's probably open to the public, which, Shawn, if you're listening to this, we definitely got to get you back on and see how opening day went. But we talk about why Bank of America was one of the worst companies she's worked with. We talk about all the software she's currently planning to use, her marketing budget, and why she decided to allocate a specific amount to her marketing budget. How did her ad look, like her ad description look, when she was trying to hire an office manager? And her job description was pretty detailed. It's more detailed than usual, and she gives us the reason why. We talk about what she learned from her associateship that she will bring to her practice, how she found most of her equipment, and some of her biggest frustrations when it came to her build-out. And she had to adjust the square footage to what they were paying and remeasure the space by the architect, and they left out an entire spot. I mean, it's a whole story, guys, and it's very interesting. We also talk about how she's in a partnership show. It's her and Dr. Ashley. Now, Dr. Ashley is, I guess, her sister-in-law, because she found a wife for her brother-in-law, and then it was Dr. Ashley. And the crazy thing is, by the time we were recording this, Dr. Ashley was gonna, she was gonna have a baby in 3 weeks. So maybe she's having it today. I don't know. But she was gonna have it in 3 weeks from this recording. So, I mean, just imagine that. I mean, you're gonna open to practice, you're gonna have a baby, and then at the same time, you're gonna find out how much in depth Shawn is. And we talk about so much more. Shawn was really, really awesome. She was a really great guest on this podcast. I'm definitely looking forward to having her on more, getting a little bit nosy, especially in the aspect of her opening up the practice. So, guys, it was a really great episode. I hope you enjoy it. But before we get into the episode, I just want to let you know that this episode is sponsored by Mango Voice. Do you need an amazing phone service provider or VoIP with outstanding customer service? I mean, let's be honest, everybody needs outstanding customer service. Your phone is one of the biggest bloodlines to keep your practice growing and running. You need the best phone service provider for the best price. So you need Mango Voice. And in this episode, you'll see Shawn even has Mango Voice. I mean, they simplify and enhance communications for their customers' most important interactions. They take a fresh and innovative approach to something old and plain, make it amazing. Mango Voice is simple, easy, fun, and extremely dedicated to help grow your practice. And since they are one of our amazing sponsors, you do get an exclusive deal. So if you mention the Dental Marketer Podcast or you mention me, you do get 10% off your bill on most plans and free phones with annual plans as well. So go in the show notes below, click on the Mango Voice logo or the Mango Voice link to find out more information on this exclusive deal and what Mango Voice can do for you. All right, guys, with that being said, here is Dr. Shawn Deering. Shawn, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. If you don't mind me asking, where are you located right now?
So we're in Utah, and the practice is in Highland, Utah, which is pretty much almost the dead center of Utah.
Wow. So right now in Utah, how is it, like where you're located? Is it, are the cases of the virus cases going down, up, or how does that look?
So during the 4th of July time, they spiked quite a bit for our population size. We were having like 800 cases a day. Mm-hmm. And our governor wanted it back down to under 500 for the trailing 7 days. And we're right about that a day. So we're about to hit a plateau again of around 500. So we're not, I think we're faring pretty well compared to the rest of the country.
That's good. Yeah. I know. You know what? I never really hear on the news like Utah is doing outrageous or anything like that. I just hear, actually, I hear nothing about Utah.
So I know. Utah's handled it pretty darn well, I'd say.
Yeah. I was talking with, I don't know if you're familiar with Gargle, but I was talking to the guys at Gargle and they tell me how, I didn't know in Utah, there's like a side where it's like, hey, it's beautiful, like the mountains and all this stuff. And then there's a side where there's like the desert. And yeah, it's super hot there and stuff. I never even knew that about Utah. So
yeah, Utah's like geography is crazy diverse, from like, you know, beautiful, you know, green mountains to the red rocks. So
your
yesterday was 105.
Oh my gosh, 105. Is it humid hot or dry hot?
No, like 10% humidity.
I'll hold off visiting Utah for now. Is your practice located in like the mountainside or the red rock?
We are Mountain Views. We are in the mountains.
Man.
Awesome. Yeah, man. It's beautiful.
That's good. That's good to hear. So before we get into your business and your practice, can you tell us a little bit about your past, your present? How'd you get to where you are today?
Sure. So going back long, long time, I just always enjoyed school. I babysat for my dentist growing up. I thought I wanted to be a hygienist. I didn't get into the top hygiene school here in Utah. So I decided to become a high school health teacher. And then I was about to, you know, graduate as that. And my husband was like, you know, if you wanted to be a dentist, this would be like literally like this is the time. And so after he kind of encouraged me to do that, you know, I finished my prereqs and I got into the University of Utah School of Dentistry. And yeah, that's kind of where I come from. Utah, born and raised.
Okay. So you decided to go into school. And then when did you graduate?
I graduated from the University of Utah School of Dentistry a year ago.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you graduated a year ago, and right now you're working as an associate, or?
Yeah, yep. I work a couple days a week as an associate.
At a private practice or a corporate?
At a private practice.
And right now, are you doing a startup? Are you about to? Are you transitioning, acquisition? What are you doing?
We are about to open our startup in about 2 weeks. So kind of to backtrack a little bit, my husband is a twin, a fraternal twin, and me and my husband, Sam, got married, and the twin brother was just sad, sad, sad. And I was like, okay, I will find you a wife and me a sister-in-law that is awesome. And I was an undergrad, and it's pretty slim pickings of ladies, pretty ladies in, you know, in all of your science core classes. And there was one girl coming out of physics who was just beautiful. And I was like, I'll never see her again. And then we had organic chemistry together. And, you know, about a year later, she ended up marrying my brother-in-law. So she's also—
Because of you? Because like you guys decided to? No way. How did that, really quick, how did you do that?
Oh, yeah.
How did you do that?
It was 8 months of hard work. So I first, you know, I saw her in O-Chem and I sat next to her, which was like, I don't like sitting by people. I was happy to sit by myself, but I knew this was my chance. And so after, you know, a few weeks, I asked her for her phone number to study. And so we became study partners, and she had a boyfriend at the time. And whenever I could, I would just be like, yeah, you know, my brother-in-law's so great, blah, blah, blah. He's so nice. And after two semesters of O-Chem, her and her boyfriend broke up, and a couple of weeks later, she went on a date with my brother-in-law, and a few months later, they were married, and yeah.
Because you told them, you're like, when they broke up, when her and her boyfriend broke up, were you the one to say, hey, you should date my brother, or it just happened naturally that she's like,
yeah.
Hey.
No. I was like, hey, can I give my brother-in-law your phone number yet? And she's like, yeah, I guess so.
Oh, man. I guess that's kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like, although it was planned, like in your mind, it was planned this whole time. So you did that mainly because she was a dentist, or you were just like, hey, I feel bad for you, because you know what I mean? Or
no,
what was
they, I just, you know, she was awesome and my brother-in-law was awesome. I knew they'd be a good match, and they were. And then kind of back on the dentistry side, we independently kind of had the same vision of what we wanted from a practice. We both wanted to be practice and business owners. And then our vision kind of took off from there. And that's how we've landed at where we are today.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this practice that's going to open up in 2 weeks, it's co-owned.
Yes.
Oh, so you're the partner.
Yes.
Oh man, I have tons of more questions now. Okay. So
this is good. I don't know how many I'll be able to answer, but I'll try.
This is good. This is really good. When did you, before you met,
her name's Ashley.
Before you met Ashley, right? Mm-hmm. Did you already, was it in your mind already to, hey, I want to do a startup one day, or I want to own my own practice one day? Or was it always just like, hey, I just want to be a dentist? And then she's the one who kind of put the seed in your brain.
No, I absolutely wanted to be a practice owner.
Oh, so where did that come from?
I just didn't want to make money for somebody else. It just didn't make sense. And I felt like I had the wherewithal to make those kinds of decisions and the oomph to make it happen, I guess.
Yeah. Like the grit, like the oomph. I get you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so when did it start getting real for you guys, where it's like, oh, we're doing this? Because I know, like, talking about it is super exciting, right? But then when you have to put, like, skin in the game, you're like, is this really happening? Yeah. So when did it start happening?
I guess we got a little bit more serious. So she was a year behind me in school, and she went to a different school here in Utah. And I would say probably around my third year and her second year is when we started to talk more logistics and be serious about what that might look like for the two of us.
Okay. And so let's fast forward then a little bit. Once you guys, or actually, no, not fast forward that much. When you guys were thinking about logistics and everything, and then you decided, okay, we're going to do this, did you guys sign like a partnership agreement, or what did you guys do in order to like solidate it and be like, let's go to the bank now and then ask for a loan?
You know, I'm trying to remember. So her husband's a lawyer. And so we tried to do everything, you know, pretty legit. And yeah, we do have a partnership agreement. And I'm trying to remember when we came up and signed that. That was probably a year and a half ago that we did that.
Okay. That's good. All right. So let's kind of get into your business now. I wanted to ask,
okay.
Is this a build out, or is this like an acquisition?
It's brand new build. So the building is new, and then we are leasing one space from that. There's four tenants, and we're one of them. So brand new build out.
Wow. Nice. And so you're trying to, or you're purchasing the whole building?
We are not. No, we're just one lessee.
Oh, okay.
There's
okay.
One person leasing. Yeah.
Got you. If you don't mind me asking, how much was your build out?
The build out will be about 280, and then our business loan was was 500, and then we had about 100,000 TI from our landlord.
Wow. Okay. Which bank did you guys go with?
Bank of America. And we negotiated 5 months free rent as well.
Nice. Okay. So why'd you pick Bank of America?
We talked to a couple, and because I'd only been out a year, and she, when we got the loan, she wasn't even graduated yet. They were the only ones that would give us 500.
Got you. Okay. So rewind back a little bit more. How did you guys find this location?
So going back a little bit more than that, I went to Breakaway when I was a second or third year dental student. I can't remember which. And so, you know, they give you kind of a good general layout, and we use dental demographics for a demographics report. Mm-hmm. And there were two spots in Utah that seemed the most promising. And one of them happened to be a little bit more toward the demographic that we wanted and was a little bit closer to my husband's place of work. And so that's how we picked it.
Gotcha. Got you. Okay. So then throughout that time, right now, you're 2 weeks about to open and your build out was around 500. What headaches did you have during construction?
Oh, I feel like we're still facing a little bit of them. One of them was, you know, we had the plans to the building and what our space would be like. That was provided by our, like the shell builder, the building builder. And then when we started to do our build out, it wasn't the same size as what we thought it was. And so then that created just frustration because of what our rent was going to be. And then even, and so like, you know, adjusting the square footage accordingly to what we were going to end up paying has been a headache. We had our lawyer put in our lease agreement that before we started paying rent, we'd have it remeasured to verify the space. Mm-hmm. And so we had it remeasured, you know, like 2 months ago by our architect, and they just barely had it remeasured last week, gave us the numbers. They left out an entire spot that should be, you know, deducted from our square footage. And then they just got back to us about that today. So I feel like nailing down the square footage and what we will pay and what we will receive in TI has been a pretty big headache. Our builder was pretty rad, so they've been a joy to work with. Wow. Assembling our team in general was pretty hard. I felt like that. I feel like we struggled there.
Gotcha. Who's your builder right now? Like, if you can mention them.
Yeah. Yep. They are called Mint Construction, and they are the best.
Are they dental specific or?
They are not. They're general. They do all sorts of things, but they have done a handful of dental offices.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow. Okay.
And so we use Design Ergo for our floor plan.
Okay. Gotcha. Have you had any issues with your landlord or not? Nah? He's been pretty easy going.
A little bit of a mix.
But elaborate a little bit more on that.
I guess. But I'm trying to. So my partner Ashley, she's been the point of contact mostly with our landlord, and for instance, figuring out what our, he was firm in saying no. The lease agreement said that your square footage is 2,500 square feet. And we're like, yeah, I know that that's what it says, but like, come walk through our space. Like, it's not, our neighbor has like way more, it's not equal. You need to come measure it. And so we had to go back and forth on that quite a few times. And I feel like I said, just figuring that out has been the biggest pain in the butt.
Biggest headache. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty good. So then right now you're 2 weeks out. Do you have your employees already all set and ready?
Yeah, we do. Yep. We have one dental assistant and one front desk person. And Dr. Ashley and I will do our own hygiene until we can scale accordingly to hire a hygienist.
Got you. How'd you find your employees?
Our dental assistant. So we put an ad for our assistant and our office manager. There's a pretty big Facebook group in Utah for all things dental related. And we didn't really yield any good office managers from that, but we did find a lot of great dental assistants. So that's where we got her. And then we put an ad on Indeed for the office manager, and we got several great applicants from there.
Okay. And then the ones that you hired right now, the office manager and the assistant, they're like amazing. They're rock stars. Like you love them or
are we like? I think so far.
Because I wanted to ask you, like, how does your ad look when you're trying to hire an office manager?
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Ashley and I know so little about front desk stuff. We kind of laid out the things that we were looking for. We need somebody who's familiar with open dental because we're not, and somebody who is familiar with AR and billing and claims and fighting claims and all that. So our description was pretty detailed in what we were looking for. Probably more detailed than most people's, just because we hardly knew what we were really looking for. And so it might be end up being a strikeout. We don't know. I guess we'll find out.
But right now it's going good so far. I mean, like as far as having her on, but that's interesting. That's good to know, like what to add. You know what I mean? Cause everybody wants like, I want a rockstar office manager, but it's like, what does that even mean? I don't know. So
I know we did because of COVID and we are both mothers, it's kind of hard for us to get away on certain days. So we did our interviews on Zoom, which, and we didn't have an office space to really interview them. But we were looking for somebody who you could tell would be comfortable talking in like times of conflict, and somebody who, you know, was just well-spoken.
Yeah.
So that's what we were looking for during the interview as far as like personality went.
Okay. Got you. The pandemic didn't cause any major problems or delays, right, with your practice?
No, yeah, not really. Dentists in Utah were shut down for about 2 months, but we've been open for about 2 months already. And during that time, construction continued. However, our cabinet builder mother-in-law unexpectedly passed away, so that did cost us a little bit of time in as far as our cabinetry went.
Got you. Where'd you get those from?
From Mint, our construction guys. It was one of their subs.
Gotcha. Okay. And then right now, how many days are you guys planning to be open?
So that's a good question. Based on breakaway, we are only open 2 days a week right now. And that'll be Mondays and Thursdays. We tried to pick days that were not too far spaced apart. And then we will open a third. We don't have good criteria of when we will feel good to open a third, but we're hoping. So Dr. Ashley is having a baby in like 3 weeks.
Oh, are you serious? Wow.
Oh, I'm serious. Our life is very crazy. Anyhow, so I'll take her second day week. So I'll work both days at our practice. And then when she comes back from maternity, we're hoping that we'll feel ready to open a third day. But if not, we'll just adjust accordingly.
Wow. That's so cool. Congrats, Dr. Ashley. That's happy / stressful, because now because I know for a fact, I mean, I've never met Dr. Ashley, but I know she's thinking about the practice and she's thinking about you, you know what I mean? Where she's like, she's, I don't know if she's overwhelmed or not. And you know what I mean? That's just stress you deal with. Wow. Okay. So you're going to be open. Gotcha. You're going to be open 2 days. And are you working as an associate still, or you left that position already?
I'm still working as an associate.
Do they know that you're opening
they
a practice?
They do know. Yes. Mine does. Dr. Ashley's does not.
How far apart is Dr. Ashley's and your associate from your practice?
Oh, mine is really far. Mine's like 45 minutes, and hers is probably 35 minutes. So we're not breaking any contract specification.
Okay. That's good. I wonder how they're going to react though. You know what I mean? I've always wondered that.
I know. I was nervous because I knew when I got my associateship, I knew that I was already in like depth to open, but I didn't tell him until a few months into it.
Yeah.
And he was really cool and understanding, and he loves asking me about it and why I'm making certain decisions and using certain softwares and stuff. So it's been pretty good.
What have you learned from your associateship right now that you're in that you're going to implement in your practice right now?
That's a good question. I feel like he has a really good culture. His culture is very friendly and really welcoming. He's from the area, so a lot of people know him outside of being a dentist. And he has, when people come in and know his family, they say just really, really positive things about him and his family. And that is something I would like to have a reputation just like that.
Got you. So you want like the same family oriented. So like, for example, what's the vision? Like, let's just say I walk into your practice, get work done, then I walk out. What do you want me to be thinking about or saying as I'm leaving your practice?
I want you, or Dr. Ashley and I both want you to leave feeling more confident than when you walked in. And that might be more confident about your teeth or out of pain from your teeth, but it might also be just how you were treated by our staff leaving, saying, those guys are nice. Those people, I enjoy going there. The atmosphere in general is, I guess kind of the trendy term to use these days is calling it like a dental boutique. So we have, you know, a little bit spa-like atmosphere, a little bit more modern appearing office. We're offering Botox and paraffin hand wax dips and all that fun stuff. Luxury.
So feeling more confident. Kind of you want people to walk out being like, my teeth are not, I feel like I don't have bad breath anymore, or you know what I mean? Or anything like that. Like, it's just confidence. But at the same time, you want your staff to portray like, and I feel like everybody wants their staff to portray like they care, but it kind of has to go deeper than that, right? Like, what type of care do you want to perceive? Like a care where it's like, hey man, we care about you, or we care about like the community and you, or we care about your family and you, you know what I mean? I feel like it would have to be. Do you have a mission statement already or no?
We do. It's pretty simple. It's look good, feel good, do good.
Oh, that one is good. I like that. Look good, feel good, do good.
We try to have everything support that one way or another as well. Like, look good, obvious. That's a really easy one for dentistry. You want your patients to look good, you know, fix whatever they have going on. But feel good and do good. Feel good is get them out of pain, things like that, you know, and then do good. We want to do good quality dentistry, but we're also offering things that are a little bit different than I guess most, like, instead of like, the plastic swag bags, we have, like cloth swag bags, and instead of plastic toothbrushes that a lot of people use or throw away, we have, you know, bamboo ones, you know, those kinds of things. Do good by the earth.
Yeah. I was going to say that, like, do good for like Mother Nature, you know what I mean? Like, people kind of like, that's what they, you know what I mean? Like, they buy into that. They're like, yeah, I want to go there because of that. So you're attracting a specific type of crowd. Would you say there's a huge demographic of that, like, type of crowd in Utah where you're at?
Yeah, I would. Bottom line is just, So our office is it's in a city called Highland, right up against the mountains. It has a pretty high average income, and there's a fair amount of, you know, granola hippie people. And more than anything, we're using it as a differentiator. We want somebody to come to our office, receive something different than what's typical, and tell their friend about it.
Gotcha. Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. So then, what are you doing for marketing and advertising right now?
So we just sent out 10,000, instead of postcards, postcard mailers, we did an 8-page magazine, and that will go out once a month for 3 months, so a total of 30,000. And we just, I mean, we're a little bit late on our marketing, I feel like, but life happens, I suppose. And then we've been doing Facebook and Instagram, and we have a Google My Business page. And then we're starting our Google ads, hopefully tonight.
So the 30,000, is that like how much that magazine cost or?
No, so we're sending out 30,000 mailers. Oh, the total cost, yeah.
How much is the total cost?
I want to say it was, hold on, let me think. I think it'll be around 15,000.
So how much money do you guys have allocated for marketing?
Like a lot. Well, I don't know. I guess a lot is relative. We have like around 50,000.
50,000. Okay. So that's like the range amount. And then
yeah.
So far right now, assuming opening day is, when is opening day?
Opening day is in 2 weeks. And like I said, I feel like we are late to marketing, but it is what it is.
When did you start the marketing?
So the mailer will arrive in people's mailboxes today.
Ah, okay. Okay. So yeah. If I were to ask you, like, what's been your best ROI? Do you know, or do you don't know yet?
No, I can't answer that at all. Unfortunately. Okay. I wish I could.
So in 2 weeks, Do you have somebody in the books, new patients in the books?
Besides family and friends, no. I feel like, so we had one big hiccup was our website, and we didn't feel like we could advertise until we had a website to direct people to. And our website was supposed to take 5 weeks, and it took like 9.5 weeks.
Wow.
And that was quite the frustration of pain point for sure.
Who did your website?
So my husband is in software development. So he has a like a million. Utah is a really big hub for tech. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
But my husband had a friend of a friend who built a bunch of websites. He does good work. But my husband was just like, he's like, Sean, those tech people, you have to stay on them for their deadlines. You have to just email them again. Just do it. And I just should have done that more because it took forever. But it looked good.
So it was a tech company that did your website in Utah.
It was a, what do I call him? Private contractor. So I think it was, I'm not sure if it's his side gig or his whole gig, but I think it's just an individual.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know your best ROI yet, but we will in a little bit. So right now the best thing to do, I guess, is with the people you do know who's coming, you're going to be asking for like referrals and reviews, right? From them.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do have Swell.
Okay. I was going to ask that. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got Swell to help kind of, you know, get those reviews.
What other softwares do you have or have you used? Like what's your practice management software or like patient communication software? Do you have any of that stuff or no?
Yep. We have Open Dental. We're using Open Dental. We're using Swell. Mm-hmm. We are using Practice by Numbers. We're using Gusto for our payroll, Mango Voice for our phones. I'm trying to think if I'm forgetting anything. I don't know. There's so many things to remember. So those are the ones I can remember.
I know there's, yeah. Swell is amazing. Swell is really good. Mango Voice is also really good. I'm saying that because they're really good, but at the same time, they do sponsor the podcast. So I'm just saying it to say it, you know what I mean? but they're really, really good. Why'd you go with Practice by Numbers?
So we did a demo with both Practice by Numbers and Dental Intel. And I can't remember why we ended up going with Practice by Numbers. I'm trying to remember. We made that decision like, I don't know, a few months ago, and a lot has happened since then. They were cheaper, and I think some of the numbers that they had, I felt like were more applicable to us as a startup,
mm-hmm.
that plus the cost, and honestly, I can't remember beyond that why we chose them.
Gotcha. No, but those are good reasons. I was wondering.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really, really good. Okay, so then right now, throughout this whole process, what do you feel? Since the moment you signed the lease, like, yeah, we're going to be here to now, to today, what has been some of your biggest, like, struggles or fails or pitfalls?
I feel like with our website, I don't know if I would have done something differently. I don't know what it was, if it would have gone with, like, a different marketing person to build our website or if it would have just been us kind of corralling our guy more. But I feel like that set us back. I feel like we've tried pretty hard to listen to people who have done it right and copycat what they've done. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of what pitfalls we've had. Oh, here's one. So we went to White Cap Institute just to prepare ourselves to do implants out the gate. Mm-hmm. And we got talked into getting a cone beam, which we wanted to do from the beginning or like maybe 6 months to a year after we opened anyways, but they kind of talked us into doing it now. And so we're like, okay, we are under budget. Let's do it. And they, you know, they pitched us their terms and stuff, which were pretty good. It was like $0 payments for 3 months and 1.99% financing. And we're like, well, that's cheaper than our practice loan. So, okay, we'll just use them to finance. And then when we, you know, we get our mailer
Ready to Go, our magazine, and we're advertising a 3D cone beam because we know that the dentists around us don't have a cone beam. And then they came back to us and said, hey, you know, to qualify for those terms, you have to be a dentist for over 5 years, which neither one of us are. So that was a pretty big pain point. So they tried to get us financing through a couple other companies, but none of the terms were better than our bank loan. And so we've had to move around some of our bank funds to make it possible for us to purchase that. I don't know if the listeners know, but when you use Bank of America, at least, they separate your budget into three separate budgets. And it's kind of a process to reallocate that money. And so we had to, we just had to reallocate appropriately so that we could end up getting that cone beam.
Do you think, would you have changed? I mean, like, looking back now, would you have gotten it? Or would you like, good thing we did get it?
I think that we would have waited. I think we would have stuck with our original plan, which was to purchase a used Tano for a couple months until we were a little bit more liquid, maybe up to a year, and then purchase the cone beam.
Gotcha. That's good. That's good advice. Good advice. All right. Yeah. So far throughout this whole process, including like, just including everything, what has been some of the best companies you've worked with and some of the worst companies maybe you haven't worked with, but maybe they like pitched you and you're like, oh my gosh, you're horrible at this. And then you just said, let's go.
Oh yeah. Bank of America, actually, they have been
the worst.
Terrible.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Really?
So Bank of America, I'm sure, has been fine, but some of like our account manager was really, really bad. If you're going to purchase something, you want the bank to pay for it, you get an invoice from the company, and then you send the invoice to Bank of America, and then you approve some stuff, you wait for them to do some things, you approve it, and then it gets paid. We had a really hard time getting our account manager to like look at the documentation that we were uploading for him to, you know, do his side of the stuff on. Mm-hmm. We would have to remind him, hey, so-and-so, there's like 10 invoices in there. We need to get them paid fast. Please do whatever it is that you do on your side. And that kept happening a lot. Or, you know, we'd upload a couple and he would only do like three of the five. And we're like, hey, there's two more you forgot to do. And then he would do those like several days later. And then we got an email one day saying, so-and-so is out of the office and you'll be assigned a new account manager. And then that took several days to get a new account manager.
Oh my gosh.
And now that we have the new one though, she's been fantastic and spot on. So now it's fine. But
did the other one get fired or what?
I don't know.
Probably, man. Jeez, that's such a headache.
But it was because we, you know, trying to be responsible with our money, we've purchased a lot of stuff refurbished or used. Mm-hmm. And so there's like more invoices than what a lot of people end up having, I bet. And so just dealing with somebody who was slow on getting those invoices through was a hassle.
Where did you find a lot of this stuff that's been refurbished and used?
So we got a DEXIS sensor from a retired dentist here locally, and he was kind of old school. He didn't like it, so it was not used very often. We tested it, and it was perfect. Same thing with a Nomad. We got one of those from a local dentist. And then the other stuff came from... I think most of the other stuff came from Dental Planet. I'm trying to think if we got anything anywhere else.
Because how'd you find out that the dentists, those two dentists were selling like the Nomad and stuff like that? Did you from a Facebook group?
Good question. One of them was through that Facebook group. Somebody was like selling some supplies, and then the Utah Dental Association has a classified spot, and that's how we found the other stuff.
Oh, so in the Utah classified spot, let's just say like, well, I am in LA. So like, I'm a dentist in LA, and then I'm like, hey, could I get it shipped, or I have to live in Utah?
I think you have to be part of the Utah Dental Association to even view it.
Okay. Gotcha. Makes more sense.
Yeah.
Is that like a membership? Like you got to pay for something or no?
I honestly can't really remember how it worked. It was something, you know, if you're a part of the American Dental Association, I think you might kind of be grandfathered into the Utah Dental Association. You know, you have to like sign up. I didn't have to pay anything, but that might have been because I was a new grad. I haven't had to pay anything so far. Yeah.
Okay, got you. Okay, cool. And then now this is more like into your life. How has all of this affected your personal life?
They say doing a startup is a 24/7 job, and it totally is. So beyond just me and Dr. Ashley doing the startup, my husband and I are building a house. So we're living with in-laws. I'm at my in-laws' house right now.
So much and fun.
Isn't it just like everybody's dream? To live, move back in with the parents.
Not to move back in with the parents.
It's just a 24/7 job. That's all I can say. And with COVID, it's not like there's anything to do anyway. So that's kind of, you know, nice that it's an excuse for me just to sit upstairs and work. But thankfully Dr. Ashley and her husband and my husband, we are really close anyhow. So we hang out all the time anyways. And so when our husbands are hanging out or when, you know, our kids are playing, we are also just still working. So socially, there's no social life. You just work all the time.
So socially, there's no social life.
All the time. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you feel, I mean, like what advice would you give to the people who are listening and thinking to, they're wanting to be in your shoes right now? Like, I wish I was 2 weeks out, but I'm about to sign a lease. I'm thinking to do it. Like, what advice would you give them? Obviously with business, but personal, like what would you do differently if you can? Looking back from now and being like, man, I was so consumed or no?
Yeah, that's a good word. I do feel consumed. I would say go to breakaway seminars. That will give you just like the best leg up and it'll make you feel competent. And I would say like socially, make the times that you have with your family or friends, make it like a no phone time, like a no phone zone, so that you do have quality time when you're not working. I kind of felt, that's how I felt in dental school too. If there's any like recent grads out there, like you do dental school 24/7 also, like it's just nonstop, but then you still have to find time to eat. And so when you eat, just make it like a special time with your family or friends, you know?
Yeah. You know what? You're right. Something I realized was the other day. So we like kind of like made a little porch section in our home, and my wife's like, let's eat out there, but not bring our like phones and stuff. Right. Cause sometimes while we're eating, we also watch like, I don't know, like 90 Day Fiance or something. Right. And then like, I'm watching it. But this time she's like, let's just eat out there and not bring our phones. So I did. And I didn't realize how like dumb I am without my phone. So like normally she'll ask me a question and I'm like, oh, let me just Google it. Right. And I'll Google it or look it up. And I would feel like I knew everything. But then without it, I'm like, I don't, 2 + 2, is it 4? What was it? 22? Okay. I don't remember now. You know what I mean? Like, and then, so it's such a, I think it's good for like family time, but also like just your mental health maybe, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, so, you know, me and my husband, we love to have like the office on in the background. We just like it on. It's just stress reliever, right?
Yeah.
And then since we're building a house and living with the in-laws, that's just stressful in general, right?
Yeah.
And they'll never listen to this podcast, right? Anyway, I'm kidding.
The first time they discover a podcast is this episode.
This is the one.
No, but
But yeah, we drive to go visit our house I don't know, a couple times a week. And that's when we're like, okay, let's decompress. We can't talk about our kids. We can't talk about the office, and we can't talk about his work. There are other things in life besides those three things. Let's find out what they are.
You know what? Like, I'm going to, my wife, she doesn't really listen to the podcast, but I'm going to tell her to listen to the end part of this episode, because that's how I determine my friends. Like, I will either say a quote from The Office or Parks and Rec, and then if they cannot quote it back, then I'm like, we're not going to get along. Let's just get out of this party right now, because this is not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. But if they get it, then I'm like, okay, this could work.
They are in the club.
I know. This could be lifelong friendships. Like, you know, this could make it happen. But before we say goodbye, Sean, can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
So you can find me on our Instagram at Lush Dental Co. Or you can email us also just at office@lushdentalco.com. If you have any questions for me about anything, like I said, I couldn't be more open. Do you want to know how much debt we had? I feel like people always want to know how much debt people have.
Yeah, please do tell.
People are always curious, but they're afraid to ask. Yeah. So I was in-state school. So I graduated with like $265. And then Dr. Ashley went to a private school. She had around $400. And our husbands worked the whole time. And right now we're doing pay as you earn so that we can be liquid as needed. And then we'll go, you know, hopefully pay more aggressively. But yeah, I feel like that's always a tidbit people want to know, but don't want to ask. There's a lot of debt out there.
In total, how much are you guys in debt?
So yeah, isn't that like, oh, you just want to know. So whatever, 265 plus 500 plus half of 500 is.
265 plus 500 plus 250. So 1 million over about 1 million. Million.
Yeah. If you count our mortgage and
I didn't even count that.
That's what happened. So our house is around 500, and then our student loan is 265, and then the practice is 500. So however you want to count that.
So you just graduated a year ago?
Yes.
I mean, if you don't mind me asking, why did you guys decide to build a house while you're building a startup?
While we're building a practice. So we already owned a townhouse. And again, I don't know if you know much about Utah, but the housing market it's a seller's market. We had so much equity in the townhouse that we purchased before dental school. And the practice from where we lived to where we're going is about an hour away. So my husband had an hour commute every day, so we moved closer to his work. And then my husband has a pretty decent job.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So mainly that's because an hour traffic, that's like no bueno for anybody. Like that's 2 hours.
Yeah.
One
way or another, we were going to move.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, alrighty. But Sean, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure. If anybody wants to reach out to Sean, guys, all her links will be in the show notes below. Her social media will be below. Check her out. Reach out if you want to know how she's paying off for her debt and how her practice is coming along and everything. Like, well, we're interested to know. And if you guys definitely want to hear more, please let us know. And then we can always have Sean back on as well, many times as you guys want. But Sean, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Hey, don't forget, this episode is brought to you by Mango Voice. See what every phone provider should be offering you. Just go in the show notes below, and if you click on the Mango Voice logo or the Mango Voice link, you can download literally a checklist of what every single phone service provider should be offering you. I mean, they shouldn't leave any of these things out. And if they are, then it's time you thought about switching to a new phone service provider. And if you're thinking about getting a new phone service provider, or you don't have one yet, then definitely, guys, go with Mango Voice. Go in the show notes below. Like I said, check it out. See what Mango Voice can do for you. And at the same time, you can see what hundreds of people are saying about Mango Voice. They are amazing. Their customer service is amazing. Mention the Dental Marketer or this episode or this podcast, or me, mention Michael to Jonathan or anybody on their sales team or just anybody in Mango Voice, and you guys will get an exclusive deal. So go in the show notes below to see if Mango Voice is a perfect fit for you and to see more details on the exclusive deal. All right, guys, I'll talk to you on the next episode.